to the world for good. So many films, stories turn on this theme, and they become blockbusters. Why are they so popular? Why are we drawn to that theme? Could it be because it's calling to something deep within us that God put there to have a special superpower and bring it to the world for good? Could it be that that might be the deepest thing in you that God's put there because it's the truth about you? You have been given some superpowers that you could bring to the world and change the world with. Revelations 3, if we can get to that opening slide with my beautiful lion face. Let's pull that up. Or are we just down? There we go. And then the next slide. Oh, you know what? My little button's off. Now it should work. Okay. Revelation 3. This is Jesus saying, I'm coming soon. So I want you to hear him say that to you right now. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have or what's been given you. So that no one will take your crown, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. You ever heard that phrase, he's a pillar in the community? What's that mean?
Strong man.
Strong man? Stable. Huh?
A central point.
A central what?
A central place,
a central identity. A pillar. This person, this man, this woman is, there's someone who holds things together. They carry some weight because of who they are. They're a pillar. Where? In the temple, in the kingdom of God. Each of us, God intends each of us to be pillars, to have a significant role, to bring the kingdom of God to this place. We've been asking the question, what if Jesus began his earthly rule, his earthly reign here in Adventure Church? What if Jesus said, I'm going to establish my kingdom on earth and I'm going to start here. I'm going to set it up right here. One thing that would be happening is each of us would know his unique superpower or her unique superpower and would be bringing it to the body to build it up. A couple weeks ago, we introduced some different passages of scripture that outline the different gifts of the Spirit that are given to us, the different superpowers that God has given us. And as I want to go through these, I've put a little expansion. We just gave you a list before. Now we're going to start looking at some definition to what those gifts are. As we go through this right now, I want to ask you to ask the Lord as we go through, is that one mine? Do I have that one? Lord, yes or no? Okay, so just in your heart as we go through, I'm just going to read through these. By the way, are how these gifts work and the definitions of them, are they at all controversial? I mean, you should be bursting out laughing when I say that. Like maybe one of the most controversial things. So I'm giving you some definitions that are sort of raw, basic definitions, okay? And we're not going to get into the controversy side of things. But just take a look with me and ask the Lord, is this me? Lord, is this me? Exhortation. Another word for exhortation from Romans 12 is encouragement. It's a drive to challenge and encourage others toward growth. So you ever meet those people that they just have to say the thing? They just have to challenge you and encourage you spiritually? You know, they have those words and it's like, Chase, you've been doing great, but I just have to tell you this is, you really need to think about this in your life. You know, they just have this draw to encourage, challenge, exhortation, to exhort, giving. This is a drive to provide for others in need. It does not mean that you're wealthy. The gift of giving can be a very person who just doesn't have very much themselves, but there, and it doesn't have to be money. I've got this extra car. I don't need it. Somebody sees a need, and they're just wanting to give to meet somebody's need. So the gift of giving, leadership. This person, they have a vision for what could be. They can see, we could do this. And they have the ability to move people and get them excited and moving them in that direction. They have the ability to create waves that people want to ride. Leadership. Mercy. This person has a compulsion to help others who are suffering or in need, but mercy's different than maybe giving in that they want to comfort those people. They want to provide care. They feel a lot of empathy and connection. Is that you? Do you have that gift? Do you have leadership from this definition? How about giving? Is that you? Exhortation. Prophecy. Okay. These are truth tellers. Regardless of how it's received. You ever met anybody like that? They say it like it is. They are compelled to tell truth from God, what people need to hear, regardless of the reception. Sometimes it's revealing the future. I'm sitting at Starbucks in Kent as a youth pastor in Bellevue. I've got zero category in my church tradition for anything supernatural. This guy walks out. I'm sitting at my little barista table outside, and he says, God says, I've never met the guy. God told me to tell you that you're going to have a ministry someday where you're teaching people to fight against Satan and where you're bringing deliverance to people's lives. And he walked away, and I'm like, that dude's a fruitcake. It's like, oh, man, these charismatics, and just kind of roll my eyes. Anyway, so sometimes it's revealing future. God downloads something that's going to happen, and you just know it, and he shares with you. And so I've met people who have that gift. Service. These people have the ability to unselfishly meet the needs of others through practical service. Okay, so it's not that they love washing dishes. It's that helping others through washing dishes is like, it's not like they're compelled about the washing dishes. They're compelled about the helping others part, but they'll dive in and they just want to serve and they feel fulfillment doing that. Or any kind of physical serving. Typically, it's physical in nature. Teaching, ability to communicate in a way that people really get how to apply spiritual principles to their lives and ministries. So ability to teach or gift of teaching is they get it. They help others get it. Administration, ability to coordinate and organize people and projects. I mean, not super hard, but to figure out administration. You have the ability, is this you, to see how an organization should run and be able to put the pieces together and make that happen. Apostle, ability to start churches. Look at the last two words, going and establishing. Apostles go and establish churches, ministries, parachurch ministries. People who have the gift of apostle will often go start a church, get it rolling, hand it off, go start another church, hand it off. Discernment. Ability, the way this is listed, discerning between spirits. They know with assurance whether certain behavior or teaching is from God, Satan, human error, or human power. Have a sense of where stuff's coming from. Faith. This one's a tough one. Aren't we supposed to all have faith? So what's the gift of faith? Because it's listed as a gift. Unusual ability to have faith, maybe unusual confidence in the. When I was looking everywhere for, different definitions of these gifts, and trying to compare them and looking at different studies and everything this week, and the best I got on faith was unusual confidence. you know, in the purposes and abilities of God. So this person, in my mind, is the person who just, they know. They just have this confidence. You know, God's going to do it. Let's move out. Healing, ability to be a human intermediary through whom God's supernatural power is applied to a person's need for wholeness, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, or physical. Okay? So this person can pray for somebody, put their hand on them, and God will use them as a conduit and bring his healing power through them. Is that you? Ask the Lord, do I have that gift? Do you? Did you get that one? Helps. Usually in the studies I found, this is lumped in with service. The ability to step out and help people in need through physically moving things, making things happen. I can go fix that car. I can go fix that piece of plumbing. I can step in and serve in that area and help someone. Knowledge. This is the ability to know facts that are revealed by the Holy Spirit. Revealed by the Holy Spirit. Often called a word of knowledge. Amazing. It's supernatural. This is where somebody can know from God. Oh, Robin, is there something going on with your stepsister? Are you guys having a rift or something? And it's like, boom, it's true. There's nothing going on with your stepsister. But, you know, it's just this ability, this knowledge comes. And I've seen that in action. It's quite amazing. Miracles is listed as a gift. And so I'm like, well, what does that mean? Ability as an instrument or agent of God to perform supernatural acts which alter the expected course of nature. We've had people pray here for the wind to stop. And it has. So miracles, tongues, supernatural ability to speak in another language or heavenly language. A lot of people think that there's two different kinds of tongues. There's a heavenly prayer language, and then there's speaking in other languages. I don't believe that. I think there's just one kind of tongues manifest in two different ways. But, different people interpret those passages differently. Tongues interpretation, ability to interpret the tongues that somebody speaks. Are these your gifts? Any of these? Helps, knowledge, miracles. Have you prayed for some things to happen that are pretty crazy and they happened? Tongues. Have you spoken in different tongues? Have you found yourself doing that? Tongues interpretation, wisdom, ability to discern the mind of God and apply scriptural truth to a specific situation in order to help others move in the right direction. So you have the ability to like see what's going on with somebody and go, this is what you need to do. And it's just dead on. And it's from God. Which are yours? Which are your superpowers? Do you know? Check this out. This is such a cool passage. Did you know God has a structure for how he meant the church to work? For the way he meant the kingdom to work. The structure looks like this. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. Grace is another word in this context for gifts, spiritual gifts. For each one of us, grace has been given to each, given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. To do what? To prepare God's people for what? Works of service so that the body of Christ might be until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God or the knowing of the Son of God and become mature. So what's the path to maturity? According to this? Okay, more. Yes, but more. Like, just follow the passage. What's the path? Pastors and teachers and other leaders equip you, right, to do what? Right? And you do those, and then this family gets built up, and we through that building up, we reach this tightness, this we're working, our giftings are working together. It's not just a couple people up front leading and doing their gifts. You're all walking in your gifts and bringing them to each other. So it doesn't look like this. The lines don't go like this. The lines go like this, right? And then when that happens, something happens. Something magical happens. We reach this unity in the faith and in the knowing of the Son of God, and we move into a maturity that does this. We attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Would you like to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Would that be cool? You know what it literally says? There are, do a word study on this whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It literally says, we attain becoming a perfect person, attaining the full stature of the wholeness of Jesus Christ. We become a perfect person, attaining the stature of the fullness. Let me read it right. You become a perfect man, take on the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That sounds pretty good. And you get that through exercising your gift, doing works of service, building up this body, connecting to each other. How big a deal is it how we relate to each other as a body?
Huge.
Huge. Huge. It is God's plan. God loves his church. If you think, the church is no big deal, we just need to be out there evangelizing. That's you're dumping a lot of scripture down the drain. The body of Christ is critical to him. It's his bride, and loving it and interacting rightly in it is Christ-likeness, because he's all about that. He's all about his bride. The church is not an extra. It is the plan of God to bring the fullness of Christ. So you can see, getting the whole measure of the fullness of Christ travels through the unity of faith, which travels through us doing works of service and us being prepared to do those works of service. So finding and learning about your God-given gifts, how to use them, and then risking in the direction of them is perhaps the most important thing you can do for the kingdom of God. So do you know your gifts? And where are you using them? What are your gifts? And where are you using them? That's my question this morning. Okay? Are you stepping out in them? For example, this idea of risking in that direction. Some of you may have heard, when you went through this list with me, the Holy Spirit say, healing is your gift. Healing is your gift. That's better. Right? You may have heard that, and you went, whoa, you know, there's no way I'm going to step out and pray for somebody for healing, because what if it doesn't work? I'll be a laughingstock. It'd be way too presumptuous, way too embarrassing. Risking in the direction of your gifting, you know, is what we need to do. If we don't do it, no unity. The body's not fully functional, no fullness. So on the other side of the coin, your gifting can be hard to identify because it doesn't feel like a superpower. It's just like, that's just what I do. You know, I just administrate. You know, like for me, I don't have to go, you know, Randy, okay, you need to really think about stepping out and leading, okay? Now think of something that's leadery and do it right now, okay? You know, maybe you should initiate prayer, or maybe you should suggest we come up with a game plan. I don't think about that stuff. I have to hold that back so I don't run over everybody. And I don't successfully hold that back often. So I run over people. But it's like, we got to go, you know? And it's like, and it's interesting. So your gifting, your spiritual gifts, I know one of my spiritual gifts is leadership because God told me it was. And before I came to Christ, I had zero leadership stuff going on for me. But I believe that was a spiritual gift given to me. And it's interesting, I had an experience with this. Anybody ever take that Myers-Briggs personality profile test thing? So I took that back years ago, and it came down with some interesting results. About 15 years ago, I developed high blood pressure. Now, my mom and dad both diagnosed with high blood pressure. Some of you have the gift of healing. I would really appreciate moving into that. But so I've taken medicine for that for years. But when it really started, I think part of it's the genetics thing too, but in the fall, of course. But I think part of it is how I was living. Let me back up. I took this Myers-Briggs test. And the guy who taught the test or, you know, facilitated the test, he sat down with me with this graph and I'm plotting on all these things. And he said, according to the test, you are driven internally to lead and step out and initiate leadership. He said, but according to your test, you don't do it. You're holding back. And it says here that you're like a pipe under pressure that's ready to explode. And I went, oh, that explains my last 5 years. Because 5 years before, I went to John Maxwell leadership training, where I learned that stepping out boldly in leadership wasn't really the best way to lead. You need to facilitate other people leading. And so I kind of went through that and took it to mean the message was, for you to step out boldly is more selfish, and that's usually more about you. And so I really need to not do that. I need to hang back and maybe just suggest a few things and let other people lead, and that's more godly. So for about 5 years in ministry, I did that. I became a passive leader. And things were going well. And I remember saying to Debbie, things are going great, but I want to quit. I mean, I was not fulfilled, and I felt exhausted all the time. And this guy says, well, this is what your gifting's leadership, but you're not stepping out in it. And he gave me permission to step back out into it and lead boldly. And then I felt the energy come back. There's a lot of reasons why you feel exhausted and you lose your energy in ministry. You could have poor boundaries. You could be you have the whole world on your shoulders because of your past wounds. There's lots of reasons for feeling exhausted. You know, you don't take enough breaks, you're overcommitted, whatever. But one of the reasons you can feel exhausted in ministry is because you're not operating in your gifts, you know? And like mercy, I have some mercy, but I feel guilty for not being at somebody's bedside. Anya, where's Anya? Anya is gifted to be by somebody's bedside. She has a gift of mercy. Is that true? Yep. And I feel like I'm by somebody's bedside for 10 minutes and I have to go sleep for 8 hours. You know? You have permission to operate in your gifting. I want to ask Wes and Judy to come up. And come on up, you guys. I want to ask you guys, how have you experienced, Judy, here's a mic for you too. let's just bring it over here and have you guys. These guys have experienced operating in their gifts and they have experienced bringing the kingdom of God to the world and seeing tremendous transformation happen. And so I just want to invite you guys, here's a clicker. Wes, what are your gifting? What do you believe your spiritual gifts are?
My gifting, Before I got into this work, I believe that my gifting was in leadership and in mercy. And I believe that the Lord led me into this work using those gifts that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. And then I think I discovered once I was into the work that I also had the gift of being an apostle. And that was unusual. That was a surprise for me because I thought being an apostle meant that you lived 2,000 years ago and traveled with Jesus. And I didn't really understand the current use of the term apostle, one who is sent and one who goes and establishes something. And but then I discovered that the Lord was using me in that way also. And so...
Awesome. Well, the reason why I want to have them up here is because I want you to hear what happens when somebody risks in the direction of their gifting, okay? When they step out and risk by faith. So I'm just going to turn it over to you guys. Tell us about what's happening in Fruit Bearers.
Okay, thank you, Randy. Let me just say a quick prayer, could I? Lord, I pray that you would be with us as Judy and I share this morning. I pray that you would give us the words to say. Pray that you would help us to explain clearly what you are doing in Negros Oriental in the Philippines. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Amen. Again, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about Fruit Bearers. Before I was able to operate in my area of gifting, I had to learn that you could hear from the Lord, that he would speak to you. And that he would then encourage you along in your area of gifting. And I learned that when I was associated with the leadership team here at the church. And so I lived a long part of my life without really understanding that. But once I learned that you can hear from the Lord and he will speak to you and he will encourage you along in your area of gifting, then I began to operate more so in that area. And that was about 3.5 years ago when the Lord said to me, I want you to establish an organization called Fruit Bearers. And where does the name Fruit Bearers come from? It comes from John 15:8, which says, when you bear much fruit, you bring glory to my Father, and you prove to be my disciples. And I had a desire to be a missionary for a long time. In fact, Judy and I had lived in the Philippines for 3 years, working for another missions organization. But that had kind of ended in a bad way, and we came home, and we were looking for the next chapter. What did the Lord want us to do? And that's when he started to talk to me about establishing Fruit Bearers. And he began to tell us what he wanted Fruit Bearers to do. And he said, what I want you to do is go back to the Philippines, and you know the culture there, you know the little bit of the language, you know the climate, you know what's good about it and what you can stand and what you can't. And so what I want you to do is go to those mountains. Those mountains are on an island called Negros, the third largest island in the Philippines. That's not where we lived when we lived there before. But he said, I want you to go there, and I want you to go up into those mountains, and I want you to find needy people, children especially, and bring them my love. He did not say, I want you to go up into those mountains, and I want you to convert those people. He didn't say that. He said, go find needy children, disabled children especially, and bring them bring them my love. And so that's what we have been doing for the past just 3 years or so now. We go up into those mountains and we find children who are deaf, children who are blind, children who have cleft lip, cleft palate. In fact, in the last few weeks, our staff over there, we now have 4 full-time staff there, they've been out looking for children. And they have found some new children. And they've been in new areas that we haven't been in before. And they have found...
new physical areas.
Yeah, new physical areas. Areas of those mountains that we haven't been to before. They found 13 New kids. We've probably done two dozen or so surgeries with kids with that type of a problem. Cleft lip, cleft palate. They found 13 more. They found 10 more deaf kids. We probably have 30 deaf kids that we are helping right now. They found 10 more. They found two more blind kids. We already have several. They found five kids with other physical handicaps. These are all new children introduced to our program. If you do the math there, there are 30 kids that have been found in the last few weeks. And what do they represent? They represent, we have found 30 wonderful opportunities to bring God's kingdom to the Philippines. Now, how does that work with fruit bearers? This one specific example. We went up into the mountains and we found a little boy who needed open heart surgery. If he didn't get open heart surgery, he was going to die. His parents had done everything they could. They had taken him to a doctor. They had gotten the price on what it was going to cost for the surgery. And they had borrowed money. They had saved. They had done everything they possibly could and come up $500 short, which is a lot of money for somebody in those mountains in the Philippines. So what did fruit bearers do? We let the people in this church know about it. And somebody in this church said, I'll put up that $500. That little boy got his open heart surgery, and he's a healthy, thriving little boy today. Okay, we take that a step further. So how does that bring Jesus up into those mountains? Well, those people, they say to us then, and there are many other examples I could use, but they say to us, oh, Sir Wes, thank you so much for what you have done, our staff and so on and so forth. And we say, no, 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 don't thank us. You thank Jesus. You thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of being his hands and feet up here. You thank him. We will thank him together. And they're introduced to Jesus. And then we say to them, you know what? Our chaplain, our fruit bearer's chaplain, is going to be in the area at some point in the future. And he's going to be holding a Bible study. And if you would like to attend that Bible study, you're welcome to do that. We'd love to have you. And these people have been introduced to Jesus. And they've been touched personally. Do they want to know more about this Jesus? Yes, they do. And in many, many instances, they come to those Bible studies. They learn about Jesus. They bring their relatives. They bring their friends. They all hear about Jesus. Over the last couple of years, somewhere between 75 and 100 people have accepted the Lord and been baptized. And that doesn't count the dozens and dozens of kids who have said yes at vacation Bible schools that we hold in the summertime. And so bringing the love of Jesus is what we are told to do. And that, I mean, that's the way the Lord did it, didn't he? He healed people. He gave them hope. And then they followed him. And that's what happens. Still, we want to tell you about two or three specific cases that we've come across recently. That boy's name is Mark. Mark is 19 years old now, but when he was 15, he ran to catch a bus, and as he was grabbing the handle on the bus to swing in, the bus accelerated, and he fell under the bus, and you can see he has no left leg there. And took him a year to recover from that and get back into school. He had to take a year off from school. And then about that time, his parents split up. And he has no idea to this day where his dad is. His mother took the two youngest kids and went up to Manila to find work so she could send some money to Mark. And she had left Mark with three younger brothers also. So here Mark is. He's 16 years old, recovering from his accident, and now recovering emotionally, and has three younger brothers to take care of. And his mother sends them 500 pesos per week, which is about $12.50 per week, to live on. And Mark, the sharp young guy that he is, he has kept that family together. All three of those boys are in school. Mark graduated from high school about 2 weeks ago, and he was right near the top of his class. He's an amazing guy. Another thing Mark did to supplement the $12.50 a week that he was getting from mother was to get a job in a vegetable garden on Saturdays. He worked 10 hours and made $1.75.
With one leg. How many of you like working in a vegetable garden on your hands and knees with one leg? Look at what he's using, a cane and a crutch that isn't even big enough.
Mark has dreams and aspirations like any other young person. He has two primary ones. One is to have an artificial leg. We hope to be able to help him on that. Yeah, we helped another young man about a year ago get an artificial leg. And so we know where to go, we know the process, we know the cost. It's going to be around $1,000 is all. Here it would be much more than that. But and the neat thing is we already have about 500 of that 1,000. So if anybody here today would like to contribute to that cause, we're about $500 short on getting Mark an artificial leg. The other thing he wants to do is go to college. Obviously, he's a sharp guy. He has the ability to go to college. He doesn't have the money. We're hoping to get him some scholarship help. We have some people considering that right now. I'm not sure where Mark is spiritually, but he's already heard the gospel because of fruit bearers. I'll show you where in a minute. See that door right behind me and Mark there? It says, "Thank you, Bear Much Fruit Ministries." We are fruit bearers here in the States. In the Philippines, we're known as Bear Much Fruit Ministries for various reasons. Over my shoulder there is a classroom. That school burned down a couple of years ago, and the classroom for the deaf kids burned with it. Not the whole school burned, but just a part of it, and the classroom for the deaf kids burned with it. We had the good fortune to raise the money to build a new classroom for the deaf. So there's the classroom, and now I'm going to show you something that's taking place in that classroom. And I want to set it up first. There's a little clip of video that I'm going to show, and you're going to see our chaplain on the left side of the screen giving a Bible story in Cebuano, the local language. Behind him is the teacher of the class interpreting the Cebuano in sign language. The kids in the audience are deaf. They're the deaf kids.
But not all of them. Anybody that has a disability could be there, like Mark was there.
Yeah, Mark was there that day. He was there talking to me and so on, and so we just invited him to sit in on this class. And he said, yeah, he would like to do that. So that's what you're going to see here. So we'll go with that, and then I'll explain a little bit more about what happened. Whoop. How do I make it go?
Animation. Push animation back there. That should make it go.
Pero sa kanlaw, sa gan si Iba ni Sorry sa gan din, itintal siya sa sentimpli, itintal siya sa yawa. Ingon ang yawa nga, kung sa'y gusulti si Ginoo sa iyo mga, na pumukawang ka aning bunga, aning kahoya, mamatay ka.
Okay, there's Mark. But what I want to tell you about that happened here, about three-fourths of the way, shortly after I quit taking that video, this girl right here, she started crying. And she was very emotional. She took out a handkerchief, and she was dabbing her eyes, and she was very emotional. And when it was over, I went to her, and I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I'm fine. She's deaf, remember. All those kids are deaf except Mark. And I wasn't sure what was going on. And so I followed up with the teacher, and I said, Miel, what happened there? And he said, well, he said that that girl goes to a church where they never provide an interpreter for the deaf. And the pastor today gave a basic gospel message, and he gave an invitation, and the Holy Spirit worked in her heart, and she accepted the Lord. And I had witnessed the whole thing. I didn't even know he was giving the invitation and all that. And that's a public classroom, by the way. That's what happened. That's another story of how Fruit Bearers is spreading the kingdom of Christ throughout the world.
Tell them what you heard from the Lord about our pastor.
Oh, yeah. And then the Lord said to me a little later on as I was reflecting on this, he said to me, Wes, I have given your pastor the gift of evangelism. And I had never not realized that before. I should have, but I didn't realize that our pastor had the gift of evangelism. You, for some reason, you kind of think all pastors have that, maybe. But they don't. But he does. And he's not a dynamic speaker. I've heard him speak in English. He's a great guy. But the Lord has given him the gift of evangelism. When he speaks, people respond. I'm going to have Judy tell another story now about something that's happening there. Push the right hand clicker.
Randy, do we have enough time? How much time do we have?
We have 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know, I want to say something as Judy's getting ready. Speaking of gifts, my wife has so many gifts, we don't have time for me to list them. And I'm not just saying that because I'm up here. Well, I would, but wisdom, teaching, on and on and on. She's the most gifted person I have ever known. There would not be a Fruit Bearers today without this lady.
When we met Mark, he was truly a boy without hope. Truly, he was a broken boy. He was empty. If I was going to do sign language, I'd say his life was boring, was awful. But then God met his need and brought him a wheelchair. And that was, Satan meant for him to, Satan came that he to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he meant to destroy Mark. Jesus came that he might have life and have it abundantly. And the first step to that abundance was God meeting his need through a wheelchair. And Mark gave his life to him. Because along with the wheelchair, along came our pastor who has the gift of evangelism. And he said, Mark, you're questioning, why is Fruit Bearers doing this for you? I mean, why are these strangers coming alongside of me? And the pastor said, it's not us, it's Jesus, it's God. And Mark said, I want to know this Jesus. And because he listened in his heart, the kingdom of God came in his heart, and he asked to be baptized. That baptism was done at great cost. If you'll notice, there really isn't anybody or any audience. None of his family came, not any of them. In fact, his girlfriend gave him an ultimatum. What? You want to be one of those born-againers? If you do that, I'm out of here. And she was. And along with it went some financial support that he needed because of his disability. But he stood firm. Remember, Satan meant to destroy him. God meant to bring the kingdom of God to his life. And he did that through a team effort. Mark's support team came because our pastor has the gift of evangelism, handed Mark off to another pastor, a pastor that's been working with us, Pastor Lionel. Pastor Lionel, would you walk alongside of Mark? I can't talk standing still. Anyway, he said, would you come alongside of him? And you know, Pastor Lionel has a gift, two of them. He has the gift of mercy, and he also has the gift of exhortation. And he did two things. One, he began to mentor Mark. Two, exhortation, he challenged him. He said, Mark, I want you to bring the kingdom of God to the neighborhood that deserted you, the neighborhood that abandoned you, the neighborhood that said, what? You want to be one of those born-againers? You know, Mark didn't go into that alone. He went in with a team. You'll notice that it's Pastor Lionel, and he's pastor encourager. And then in the back is his wife, and his wife is a very gifted teacher. The other two people on the motorcycle are his children. So he didn't go into this alone. If you're going to be a strong man, you need the team. Mark was built up in the church. The church used its gifts to bring the kingdom of God to Mark's neighborhood. Do you want to see what that kingdom looked like? I have to tell you, Wes and I were blown away. We had heard that there was a Bible study every Saturday. We thought a little neighborhood Bible study. What do you think of a little neighborhood Bible study? 5, 10, 15 people? They changed that study from the morning to the evening so we could be there. And they said not very many people came. Only about 35, maybe 40. Oh, wait a minute. This is a summary. God uses his gift of apostleship to bring his kingdom to a remote village in the Philippines. That's Wes. Mark experiences God because we have a pastor that has the gift of evangelism. God uses a team to bring God's kingdom to Mark's neighborhood. The body of Christ there continues to grow and mature and get closer because they are working together. Okay, this is at an auntie's house who did not come to the baptism. This is just some of the children. This Bible study is from small children to older people. And it's spread out not only at the auntie's house, but at the cousin's house next door, the neighborhood that abandoned him. Oops. Can you push animation? You know, to them, you're going to see little kids here. They're excited to have pencils and crayons. When we bring Bible church stuff, they are so excited. Our kids wouldn't sit still like this. Look at them. And most of the time, these two guys got to sit down. Most of them have to stand up and color their pictures. It's not just the younger kids. How many kids that are high school or early college are going to come Saturday and be studying the Bible? This is the kingdom of God brought into this neighborhood because the gifts of all the people working together. This is what Randy's talking about. Isn't it exciting?
I get to take over again to tell you how you can be involved if you would like to be. I need the clicker. People ask us from time to time, you are kind of on guerrilla warfare up in those mountains. There's nobody else doing this work up there. We have not run into a single other ministry up in those mountains searching for these children and taking the word. And so we are like guerrillas going up in the mountains and doing what we can to take territory away from the enemy who's had it all the time up until now. And they ask, do you have any spiritual warfare against you? Man, do we. I want to tell you, the enemy is not happy about this. And we could take a whole session on that, but I won't. But if you have a regular prayer time or prayer group, remember faith. Remember fruit bearers in your prayers, please, from time to time. And that is what we need most of all. We also need financial help. Like I said, we have 4 full-time staff members over there now and other expenses, so we need help on that. If you would like to give a lump sum gift, perhaps make a gift today towards Mark's leg or something like that. That's always beneficial. If you would like to sponsor a child, we have 57 kids sponsored right now. And we have 13 more profiles with us today in the back of the room. That 30 that I talked about earlier, we have 13 of those with completed profiles here. If you would like to sponsor a child at $35 a month, the main thing is it helps them to stay in school. It also, usually there's enough money left over that it helps the family have enough to eat, which many of them don't. Many of you here, as I look across the audience, are sponsoring kids. We appreciate that very much. If there are others who would like to, this is a good day to sign up. So those are the ways that you can be of help. I'm going to have Judy talk about 2 of those kids for just a minute.
I wanted to leave some of the original words there because they're so funny. It also gives you a flavor of what the Philippines are like. But this little girl's Ninas, and A-Y is I, Cyclone. And she looks, this is interesting, she looks healthy and normal. However, it's sad to note that this adorable child shows attributes of having a mild cerebral palsy. Actually, the child is not diagnosed of having CP, but anyway, they don't really know what's wrong. We need a sponsor for her. She's in school. The parents make very little. He makes an income. The dad makes an income of about $75 a month. What does she need to go to school? And she also needs a medical diagnosis. So if anyone is interested in sponsoring this little gal, you can meet us afterwards. We'll also have some other profiles. We'll do one more. I think our time's getting short. This guy's named Christian, and he is deaf because the mother took antibiotics when she had mumps. And she didn't even know that she was pregnant. What's neat about it is he's in preschool. Notice he's in preschool, but he is 7 years old. It just takes a little bit longer if you don't hear the language. You know, I wasn't going to say this, but I have to say, you know, this church brought the kingdom of God into us. He did not really hear God's voice before then. Now he has brought the kingdom of God to a team in the Philippines. And that team is using their gifting to bring the kingdom of God to all kinds of neighborhoods. This is a new neighborhood. Notice it doesn't say Mabinay. It said Pamplona on that little girl's. That's a new area for us, Pamplona. I just would really like to thank the church for bringing the kingdom of God into my husband and bringing him alive.
Okay, I'll just say gifts are tax deductible. We do qualify as a charity for Microsoft. And a couple more slides of cute kids. Here's my favorite. When I'm there, she sits on my lap and calls me Lolo, which means grandpa in her language.
Thank you, Wes. And Judy, for sharing with us. It's awesome to hear what's going on outside of this community where we live and what God's doing all around the world. We're going to have some worship time now, and I just want to continue to invite you as a church family to step into what Randy's talking about, stepping into our giftings. There's a lot of different places, like we've heard this morning, where the gifts come out and where they're used to build up the body. One of those places is when we're together as a fellowship. So as we worship this morning, we want to offer to you, God might be stirring something in you. You may have something heavy on your heart this morning. As an act of just physically stepping out and seeking God for breakthrough, you're invited to come forward. We'd love to pray over you this morning. You know, if you feel like you have a gift of healing, or you just feel like you don't know if you have the gift of healing, but you feel compelled to pray, I would invite prayer for my back as we're worshiping up here. I'm going to be up front here. If you want to come forward and pray for my back, I slipped on a roof a couple weeks ago, and doesn't seem like it's getting better. So I'd love prayer for that. But otherwise, just to encourage you, you can pray where you are, but there is power in stepping into the model that God has given us, which is a reflection of his character, where somebody praying for you for something, for breakthrough, maybe listening for you. Maybe there's a picture, a word that God wants to speak to you through somebody else this morning. If that's you, if your heart desires that, come forward as we worship.